What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
This tells me that teams were so far down the road with their interviews that even with the Bills making the decision to fire McDermott, they aren't altering their plans.
Right.
Because we have not heard, and it's only been 24 hours, we haven't heard any team say, hold on, let's interview Sean.
Well, the question is, was that a surprise? Was that a surprise firing? Because I think we kind of had speculated about it because they kept kind of like the Ravens and also like the Steelers, they kept hitting their heads,
right?
Hitting it on the ceiling, whether that's the AFC Championship or even divisionally. They couldn't break through ever. And so when he gets fired right after losing the game this past weekend to the Denver Broncos, and it wasn't like he got out coached, it was just kind of like circumstance and bad officiating, and he lost maybe to a better team on the road. He gets fired. So is that a surprise, or were they expecting to do this at some point? That's the question in Buffalo that I think the fans are saying, yeah, we're fine, get rid of him. But I don't think anybody in the industry was saying, yeah, Sean McDermott's on the hot seat.
I think people thought it if they lost to Jacksonville. So what Sean McDermott just accomplished is something only three dynasties have accomplished, which is win a playoff game in six consecutive seasons. Only the Chiefs, Patriots, and the Cowboys dynasty did that.
So that's crazy.
Yeah, they became the fourth team. So I think once he beat the Jaguars and won that playoff game, I think people just assumed, all right, whatever happens from this point forward. And he didn't get outcoached in that game.
One thing about that stat that's misleading is that because we only have one bye, they tend to be playing a very weak opponent around that those other teams wouldn't have to play in.
Right.
That's true. That's a good way to look at it.
If they're in the wild card, they're almost guaranteed to go through.
Yeah. I mean, think about some of the bad teams, or not bad teams, but non-great teams they've beaten in the postseason. I think it also shows that Sean McDermott, while he did a great job in Buffalo, and I would say he did a great job, he helped turn that organization around. I may not like him personally, but the Buffalo Bills went from that post-Jim Kelly, Marv Levy era into darkness, and Sean McDermott was a big part of turning that thing around. There doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in him around the league. Maybe it's a lack of respect. Maybe it's the shock that you mentioned, Teak. I'm not sure, but I haven't heard his name linked anyway.
I just think, as you were alluding to, it was unexpected. And so because it was unexpected, he was on nobody's mind.
Yep.
They weren't saying if people were saying, if Mike Tomlin gets fired, we're going
to
go grab
him. They were ready to pounce.
If John Harbaugh gets hired, we're going to go pounce on him. I don't think anybody was saying, if Sean McDermott gets fired, so that cycle is going to take a week, but our teams already deep or already made their decisions, possibly.
Let us go to Mike, who's calling from Goshen, Connecticut. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
All's good, Mike. What's up?
Hey, Evan, I have to kind of get on you a little bit. You're getting on Sean for saying he's going to be tingly during or after the press conference today. I must mention that you were tingly after the Aaron Glenn press conference. Were you not? did you not go on and on about that? So I think Sean has every right to be a little tingly after this press conference, considering you were tingly for Aaron Glenn.
Well, in fairness, when I described Sean's tingliness later, I didn't say it wasn't justified.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great hire. I think this is a slam dunk hire. As far as me defending myself about the Aaron Glenn tingliness.
No, I think the question is, were you justified in your tingliness? Or in retrospect, are you saying, man, I probably should have tamped down the tingles?
I was tingly from Joe Judge. I can't blame him.
I should know better. No, because of Joe Judge, I should know better. That would be my answer. Aaron Glenn hit all the right notes in his opening press conference. He had me believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have known better because Joe Judge had a great press conference, too. Like, you're not wrong.
I don't think I was sold on Joe Judge until the practice started.
Right.
And he's doing, like, diving on the ground for the ball and all these other things that felt like he was a player's coach, but also a hard ass.
Yeah.
Which is what I felt the team needed at the time.
And then what he turned into was a glorified gym teacher. That's basically what he turned into. Vinny's in Brooklyn. Hey, Vinny.
Vinny, what's up, dude?
Vinny going once. Vinny is gone. Instead, we say hello to Lucian in Brooklyn.
Lucian.
Lucian. My bad. Hi, Lucian.
Hey.
What's up?
I knew Tiki was going to get it right with his vocabulary skills.
Sorry. Evan don't have enough melanin in his skin to know that one.
Appreciate you, man. I just want to say, first and foremost, you guys are wonderful. I love you guys more than the characters on ESPN. You guys are always non-biased opinions. I love you guys.
Appreciate it.
Just want to say, with the Knicks situation and Cat, man, Tiki, you've been in the locker room, so you understand it first and foremost that guys talk.
Right.
All right? And guys can say the most disrespectful things to you in those locker rooms or on the court or on the field as you played.
Right.
And since Cat has been messing with a certain individual in his life that has NBA baggage, you can see how his play has really diminished. And you hit it dead on how it's getting frustrating to watch him just labor up and down the court. Every shot he takes, he's falling on the ground. And it takes literally about 5 seconds or 8 seconds that you're supposed to get off past half court to get up court to meet your team for the to get back on defense.
Right.
All right. So just imagine being a player on the court with that, how frustrating that is. And I was one of the first callers to defend the Knicks saying that they can beat anybody. And I still believe that. But something is going on in that locker room mentally, in his head, and other people together. Something is going on that's causing a lack of cohesion.
Yeah,
no, world-class Frazier will say.
Lucian, you nailed it, though, because cohesion matters. Like, you don't often see it in gameplay. Like, you don't see it in, you know, passing or setting screens or any of these other – you don't see it, but it's there. And it manifests itself with guys getting in little corners. We used to do it in the hot box. In fact, we did it so often in the hot box, we made it the place to go. If you were going to talk stuff about somebody, you'd go sit in the hot box. And then if that person walked in, you just had to talk to them.
Right.
Right? It just worked itself out. But if there's not a mechanism to clear it, then it just festers. And it becomes it unconsciously takes over how you feel about somebody.
I have audio I'd like to play for you, Connor, back in the shop. It's Carmelo Anthony. Do we care about Carmelo Anthony?
Of course we do.
I think we do. He's a Knicks legend. He is also now an analyst. Mm-hmm. He broadcasts on these pre- and post-game shows. And he aired something, which I am fascinated by, and I'm curious your opinion. An interesting criticism of Karl Anthony Towns, as levied by Knicks legend. I know some Knicks fans don't like to hear that, but he's a Knicks legend, Carmelo Anthony. So, assuming we have it ready, I present to you Carmelo Anthony on Cat.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
When it comes to Cat, Cat shot an air ball in the fourth quarter the other day.
Yep.
And I yelled at, can I yell at him, but I screamed out, it's over with. Leave it alone. On to the next one. Mm-hmm. And he looked back and said, all right, I got you, OG. But for him to shoot that air ball and for him to acknowledge what I said in that moment,
rabbit ears.
You're thinking about
rabbit
that.
Ears.
Right? So you cannot think up like that throughout the course of the game when you're playing basketball, because now you're worrying about what people are saying about me. Should I take this shot? Should I go down into the post? Should I switch? Should I show?
Right.
Should
now,
I hedge?
Yeah.
He's thinking all type of things.
What do you think
That's
of that?
That's interesting. Yeah. Because, I mean, I remember making it a point not to listen to anything.
Yeah.
You just have to trust what you did. Trust what your preparation put you in position to accomplish. And as soon as you start listening to other people, then you're second guessing yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Carmelo is getting at. He's right. Especially in a basketball game where the action is immediate. I mean, someone could talk to me about, hey, you know, do this with the football instead of that way you won't fumble. Like, maybe I might not get the ball for a quarter. You know what I mean?
I do have to defend Cat in this regard. It's Carmelo Anthony.
Okay, but he's still
it wasn't me screaming.
He's still a distraction that's not pertinent to what's happening on the court. Now, again, this is the NBA, so regular season games, they feel loose.
Yeah.
They feel less urgent or important. But I think when you look at this Knicks team, that's their issue. It's not urgent. It doesn't feel urgent.
I got to be in the building tomorrow night. If my wife is listening, I understand it's not good for my health, driving a lot. I have to be in Madison Square Garden tomorrow night.
But you're already in your funeral clothes.
Stop it.
Oh, man. Yeah, Knicks Nets tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. I guess that's a game right here on the Fan, because as you may know, we broadcast the Nets.
Oh, no, I led into them many times.
That's true. Let's go to Lori in Ocean Township, New Jersey. Good morning or afternoon, Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Afternoon. So, with the Knicks losing streak, I think it's bigger than the players or anything. I honestly think it's some bad juju for not hanging up the banner from winning the cup, and I felt that energy once they refused to do that.
That's interesting.
All right, what do you think of that, Tiki? I mean, the no banner has leading to the Knicks' struggles.
I mean, it's not ludicrous to suggest it, but I think it's kind of nonsense, but it is interesting. Are they even acknowledging it? Because it feels like that was the point where things started to turn and go and head downhill.
You know what, believe it or not, because I've said that too, that it's the cup and since then they've been a different team. It's actually not as accurate when you think about it. Because after the cup, they won 5 out of their next 7 games.
Right.
So the real line of demarcation is what happened on New Year's Eve in San Antonio, Texas. They lost a close game to the Spurs on New Year's Eve. And I don't know what happened after the game, but if you look at the way they've played, it's not just the losing. It's
right.
The way they've played since New Year's Eve. Something is off. And I don't know, because you talk about the hot box and talking to teammates. Something may have happened in that room after the game.
Maybe.
It may have been a discussion that, instead of it leading to positivity, turned into this disaster, because they feel like a team that's broken in many ways.
No, you're right.
And it could be the coach. It could be the relationship with Kat. It could be the lack of trust that players have. And look, there are a lot of basketball reasons, which we'll get into tomorrow. CP, the franchise, will stop by. Like, one of which, and I hate to harp on this, Mikal Bridges does not like contact.
No, he doesn't.
And this has been going on since the moment he got traded.
Right. What was he?
He avoids it, bro.
Right. He's averaging less than a free throw a game or something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
And it used to be up around 4
Dude.
Or so.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, so it's a different style of play. Now, maybe that's just because Mike Brown's system is more predicated on being 5 out sometimes and taking open 3-pointers, but when the opportunity is there, you know he knows how to do it. He's just not doing it.
Yeah.
So what's causing him to be cautious and not pull the trigger?
It doesn't make sense to me.
Right.
I'm getting hungry early in the day, so we'll have an early Cinco de Luncho in just a few minutes, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. And in less than a half hour, you'll hear from him as this place is loading up with dignitaries.
Right.
Or media members, whatever.
No, it's everything.
You see everything.
You see the Tish family's coming in.
Oh, nice.
I just saw John Tish.
Ah.
Saw Kate Mara.
Oh,
she's
wow.
over there. And so there's a lot of both families are now.
You know what this means? Tiki cannot wait to leave us and start, you know, hobnobbing.
Yeah. Got to go see Sammy.
He's gone in like 2 minutes.
Look, he's already eyeing how many more people are better than me.
No, not true. At all. These are my long-term friends. I haven't seen them in some time.
Hey, once a giant, always a giant. We'll hear from John Harbaugh in less than a half hour. It is Evan and Tiki with Sean Morass live.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.